Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 22nd day of January, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And this morning, most of the news seems to have to do one way or the other with politics. In particular, the relatively surprising, but perhaps not news, that Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida has dropped out of the race. And as the headline from the Epoch Times puts it, endorsed his rival, President Trump, meaning that the race has now, as they put it, become a two-horse race for the GOP nomination. Well, some of us might suggest a horse and a donkey. In other words, it's a one-horse race and the other one's a donkey, and I'm being as kind as I possibly can. At the very least, Nikki Newcomb Haley doesn't even quite qualify as a decent rhino. And in a gracious video announcement, Governor Ron DeSantis announced that he was suspending his campaign and endorsing Donald Trump. Give him another chance, because his first administration, as he noted, was stymied by all kinds of things, and he's been attacked via lawfare since. And obviously, as he put it correctly, Nikki Haley isn't even remotely an acceptable choice. So with Ron DeSantis out of the race, and he plays second in Iowa, as you might expect, there's considerable focus on what now. And the Gateway Pundit is among those, reporting on a poll conducted ahead of the Iowa caucuses by NBC News, the Des Moines Register, and a pollster in Iowa called Seltzer & Company, that found, this probably shouldn't surprise anybody, that Newcomb Haley supporters in Iowa are twice as likely to vote for the senile guy as they are Donald Trump. Should she not be allowed to represent the faux alternative? In other words, please don't make us vote for Biden, but we will if we have to, which certainly says something about derangement. Quick related story, no surprise, a poll taken immediately after DeSantis' withdrawal from the race by Insider Advantage shows President Trump increasing his lead over the so-called former South Carolina governor, Nikki Newcomb Haley, among likely GOP primary voters in New Hampshire, up fairly dramatically, 62% to 35%. In spite of the fact that the New Hampshire primary coming up Tuesday is open to both Republicans and undeclared voters, and a whole lot of those have switched from being Democrats for the obvious reason, to vote for the tyrant who isn't senile, but certainly is jonesing for World War III. From there, a couple of stories and an interesting take or two from the Daily Mail out of the UK. Donald Trump, says one of the headlines, has indicated it's highly unlikely that he would include Ron DeSantis in his upcoming administration, but that he, quote, doesn't see a path for Nikki Haley to the nomination, thankfully. And when it comes to the possibility of Ron DeSantis as a vice presidential pick, he said, well, it's probably unlikely, but, you know, I have to be honest, everything is a possibility, but I think it's highly unlikely. I have a lot of great people, he said, and I have great people that have been with me right from the beginning, unquote. Well, with that in mind, the Daily Mail also has a story up, they call it an exclusive, about polling they've conducted along with JL Partners concerning vice presidential picks, which puts Vivek Ramaswamy as the top choice among Republicans in New Hampshire. Senator Tim Scott comes in second with 14%, with others, notably Ben Carson and then Tucker Carlson, also considered potential favorites. But the list is long. And I think at this point it's probably fair to say that literally nobody who wants President Trump to live through a potential second term would want Nikki Haley anywhere close to the vice presidency. And as an indication that that's more and more becoming front and center in people's minds, Tucker Carlson, of course, is among those who says openly that he has feared for Trump's assassination. But over the weekend on Sunday, a number of conservative sources, including the Gateway Pundit, the Conservative Treehouse, and the Burning Platform, have all noted that Alex Soros, son of the most evil one, and owner of so many DAs across the once free United States, tweeted something really interesting and certainly alarming, some might even say indictable, over the weekend, although you know it's not going to bother Merrick Garland any. Intimidation by three-letter agencies nowadays is only for MAGA types, regardless of the threat level. Sundance at the Conservative Treehouse seems to have been among the first to notice that a tweet from Alexander Soros, dated 7:55 p.m. on Sunday evening and connected to the far-left rag called The Atlantic, showed a picture of a bullet hole on the left-hand side of a split frame and a fist holding $47 on the right hand of the frame. And interestingly, notes everybody who's paying attention, the symbolism of the number 47, since if you count the senile guy, that would be the second number associated with a Trump presidency. And everybody with an IQ higher than Kamala Harris, or even room temperature, can probably see the connection with a bullet hole. The implications do seem relatively clear. So at the very least, suggests Sundance, not cool, Alex. writes the State of the Nation via the Burning platform. The communist-run Uniparty has finally taken off the gloves after years of desperate and unparalleled lawfare waged against President Trump and anyone else that supports the actual concept of truth, justice, and the American way. In point of fact, they say the invocation of the assassination of Trump reflects the commencement of the violent Bolshevik phase in the ongoing Second American Revolution, because we know that the nakedly treasonous and treacherous far left has thus far tried everything to remove Trump from the 2024 ballot, so far without success. While Trump Derangement Syndrome, or TDS, has become a truly serious mental illness, and it all means that the sufferers will stop at nothing until the legitimate POTUS is completely neutralized. So that means, in turn, that one of the four hoped-for eventualities by the Democrat Party, the RINOs, the Never-Trumpers, the Deep State, Washington Establishment, U.S. Intel Community, Waste Stream Media, Woke Corporate America, the NWO Cabal, the WEF, you name it, will almost certainly take place post-haste. These institutional traitors to the Republic either want Donald Trump in prison, in a mental institution, long-term hospitalization for the irreversibly incapacitated, or, of course, their arguable favorite, dead. And what this latest, even not-so-thinly-veiled Soros threat shows is they're just cocky enough to think they can get away with it. And given what we've seen, that may be about the only thing they've been honest about. And yeah, that might be with the possible exception, but they haven't been nearly so transparent about it, of jonesing for World War III. Here's an update on that front. NATO says another piece from the Burning Platform. Under the senile fake president, a rogue state doing all it can for world depopulation has moved to launch their biggest drill and ante up towards World War III since the Cold War. 90,000 troops are now set to approach Russia and Ukraine real soon now. Reuters is reporting that NATO exercise, they put it in quotes, Steadfast Defender 2024 will begin on Monday, January 22nd, hey, that's today, and run through May, give or take, depending upon how successful they are at getting the Russians to strike back, which means until June, really. The deployment will include 90,000 troops, 50 ships, including aircraft carriers, more than 80 combat aircraft, fighter jets, and over 1,100 combat vehicles, at least 133 tanks, and over 500 infantry fighting vehicles. And the fact that the exercise is now beginning and the Western waste stream media is only now starting to talk about it means that all the military assets are already in position. As the author puts it, they're not coming, they're here. And this, notes the story, is the biggest combined NATO arms exercise since one called Reforger took place in 1988, back when both the USSR and the Warsaw Pact were still in existence. And as the author Russell Bentley notes, politics and war can often best be exemplified by the game of chess, in which there are three specific stages. The opening, where the setup occurs, and the two sides jockey for positional advantage. The mid-game, where the open fighting really begins and most of the pieces are exchanged or lost. And finally, the in-game, where basically it's over. And with Steadfast Defender, he suggests, Europe and probably the rest of the world have entered the mid-game. Fasten your seatbelts, because we're in for a rough ride. And I guess on the mid-game front, although this time from Sodom on the Potomac, a new bombshell report has alleged that just days before the GOP took over the House and the majority in 2022, over 100 encrypted files relating to the Fed's insurrection on January 6th, a.k.a. the Capitol riot and the probe into that, were mysteriously, who could have thought it, deleted. In an interview with Fox News, Chairman of the House Administration Committee Oversight Subcommittee, Representative Barry Loudermilk of Georgia, described this new revelation as bringing the investigation into a new phase, or maybe the mid-game. Louder alleges that a forensics team found that 117 files that are supposed to be preserved, don't you know, if we actually cared about transparency in government and the American people knowing the truth, well, those files had either been deleted or encrypted as of January 1, 2023, just before the Republicans took over the House, and an investigation that had been previously led by the evil Representative Benny Thompson and Representative Liz Cheney. Congressman Loudermilk is demanding that Democrats hand over the passwords to those files, since the files themselves have largely been recovered and are believed to contain interviews and depositions that could prove, get this, crucial to the case. In other words, they were damning to the big lie and needed to be disappeared. Loudermilk said that the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, has allowed the committee, quote, whatever resources we need to move forward, and has basically tripled the size of our staff, We are now investigating, he said, quote, what really happened on January 6th and how were these people, whoever they were, how were they able to get into the Capitol? What was the security failure, he told Fox News. Because the American people have a right to know what happened, my main goal, he said, is to get the truth out there and give the American people the ability to make their own determination on this with facts, not just with preconceived ideas or predetermined narratives, you know, the kind of stuff they've been spoon-fed by the ministries of truth for the last several years. Your host interjects. But he said the facts of what actually happened. The Georgia conservative accused the Democrat investigation into the riot as trying to, quote, prove something that they wanted to be the truth, saying that they cherry-picked evidence and omitted things that contradicted their narrative. Here's another one of those stories. We've known it literally for years, but amazingly, some of the truth is finally being not only revealed, but confirmed. The global plandemic, as you undoubtedly have recognized by now, was a fraud. COVID-19 84 and its follow-on bioweapon, the Zyklon B injection, was made in a lab. And that's precisely why the Thought Police are on duty, and they want to cover all of this up and shut off your right to even question their narrative. Dr. Robert Malone has published The Smoking Gun, conclusively proving at this point, and Fauci all but admitted it, that COVID-19 was a synthetic virus. We've known that, folks, since early in the year 2020. And in fact, it was a bioweapon produced in a lab. Wrote Dr. Malone, moments ago I was on a podcast with Alex Washburn regarding his paper called The Endonuclease Fingerprint, which indicates a synthetic origin for SARS-CoV-2. This was the first data that really cemented the clearly synthetic origins of SARS-CoV-2. The zoo crew went into high gear with the typical smoke grenades, he said, and even published other fraudulent associations with the wet market to try to distract from this. He cites Pekar, Warraby, and Anderson, just to name a few. And recap some detail again regarding their perfidy. Some of them have connections dating back all the way to HIV and the infamous Tony Fauci. All of them, of course, might actually have criminal liability if we still had a rule of law. But he says these antagonists were all just delivered a fatal blow. The argument that Brutel et al. Put forward was that SARS-CoV-2 was unique in its even distribution of certain enzyme cut sites that are commonly used with Golden Gate genome assembly strategies. I put together, says Dr. Malone previously, a substack on the nature of these interesting Tipels restriction enzymes that helps explain why they're such handy tools for generating scarless or no-see-em synthetic genome assemblies. In other words, being able to bioengineer something, folks, and get away with it. While the zoo crew, he says, screamed, coincidence! Yeah, and so was the fact that all of the votes after they quit counting just happened to be for the senile guy. What are the odds? But now, he says, Emily Koop from the U.S. Right to Know has obtained additional detail about the diffuse proposal that's far more than just a mere smoking gun. In fact, it's analogous to finding the gun, fingerprint, and confession note all in a single place. Emily found evidence that this proposal also listed the very same restriction enzyme. If you care, folks, it's called capital BSM, capital BI, that Brutel et al. Claimed could build the virus. Not only did Brutel et al. Notice that the sites were conveniently evenly spaced throughout the viral genome, and this spacing was not observed in other coronaviruses, but that this approach made complete sense as a logical path to manually assembling the genome. Well, lo and behold, he says, the diffuse proposal actually contains part numbers, enabling the ordering of these very enzymes to construct the virus in exactly the manner that Brutel et al. Predicted. In other words, it's a case closed. COVID-19 was made in a lab, and which lab and when and how might still in part be TBD, but we know that it had links, for example, to North Carolina, Ukraine, and of course, ultimately Wuhan, certainly Tony Fauci and Echo Health Alliance, but all of that is still a hot topic. One thing we know for sure, concludes Dr. Robert Malone from just before the weekend, it didn't come from a pangolin courting a bat. And one other thing we know, folks, they are going to keep lying until they kill as many people as they can possibly get away with. And it ain't over yet. From the Solar Science Front, and again courtesy of at least this piece via the Daily Mail, other sites online, folks, that hams are familiar with, things like space weather and the amateur radio forecasts that have to do with propagation, all of which are very much influenced by the sun and coronal mass ejections and geomagnetic storms and solar flares and the like. Anyway, Earth is undergoing a solar storm warning this week after Old Sol released two powerful streams of energized particles directly at our planet over the weekend. The first is set to make an impact Monday, the second by midweek, Wednesday. Both, it says, have a 60% chance of causing radio blackouts. GPS navigation signals may also be affected. This according to NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center, or SWPC, where experts suggest that power grid issues could appear on the dark side of the planet and in higher latitudes, such as at the poles, which could also see issues with aviation communication, ham radios, hey, that's the thing your host is familiar with, and even satellites potentially disrupted in orbit. But the event is also set to create stunning auroras as far south as southern Wyoming, South Dakota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, New York, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. And the storm is called a G2 event, which is in the middle part of the spectrum, courtesy of two active sunspots, region 3559 and 3555, that produce coronal mass ejections just one day apart. The good news is these aren't big enough to destroy the power grid, but at least maybe we're starting to get some priming and setup for it. Whether it turns out to be true or just a result of yet another distraction and massive cyber attack, or maybe even an AI-directed cyber attack, well, that all remains to be seen. Certainly, the wise are paying attention and beginning to take precautions. Which brings me next to a great piece I want to spend a few minutes on, courtesy of Mike Adams at Natural News. It's called 12 Undeniable Signs That Globalists Are Engineering the End of Humanity. And he begins by noting it's no longer even taboo to publicly talk about depopulation. Even many who once dismissed the concept as, oh, you know the word, don't you, conspiracy theory, are now publicly acknowledging the reality that various global efforts are underway to drastically reduce the human population, you useless eaters, you, on planet Earth. Mainstream media are now frequently talking about climate lockdowns as if that was a good thing, to cease human activity on planet Earth in order to save the planet. For what? Well, the demonic entities that they're channeling, it would seem, from so-called climate change, a wholesale fabrication and fake science fraud, says Adams, rooted in the big lie, one of the biggest ever, folks, that carbon dioxide is somehow bad for life on the planet. Although anybody that has understanding at all of real science knows without it, there would be no photosynthesis, no plants, no animals, and of course, therefore, no humans. Now, corporate media is openly calling for climate blackouts and lockdowns, again, the rationing of air conditioning, unless, of course, they want to force you to buy it to heat instead of cool, in which case, no, it's just a far less efficient way of using the energy that you're not going to be allowed to have. And even though they want you to have electric cars, they're still talking openly about banning the use of electricity for air conditioning. You know it's going to be just fine on their private jets, though, don't you? But initially, anyway, only on hot days, all of which is being positioned, again, as vital in order to save the planet. Leftist rag, the Los Angeles Times, recently published a story claiming, or maybe asking, whether or not the occasional blackout might be a good thing to help solve climate change. I'll skip past some of the other parts of the introduction here. I think we've pretty well laid it out already today. But Adams goes on to say, here are 12 signs that underlie the lies, the fake science, the rigged elections, the government-controlled censorship, the transhumanism, the mRNA injections. And if you look behind all of that, connect the dots, you'll see the real agenda. Planetary-scale genocide that targets the human race. So here he says are 12 signs that make that point unmistakable. Number one, they are in fact terraforming the planet through planetary scale atmospheric alterations. The proper politically correct term is geoengineering. Large scale efforts though are underway to, right now, alter the chemistry of planet Earth in order to make it inhospitable to human life by removing CO2 from the atmosphere through what's called carbon sequestration and the related efforts to destroy the ability of the planet to produce food. Since CO2 is necessary for all photosynthesis, and that drives the web of life on planet Earth, this effort will, and is intended to, collapse the food supply, all food crops, rainforests, marine ecosystems, and more, ultimately, to kill virtually all the animal and human life on the planet. By the way, folks, plants also produce oxygen, and those of you that weren't public cesspool indoctrinated probably know that's necessary for what's called respiration by animals as well. Without CO2 in the atmosphere, there's essentially no recognizable life left on planet Earth. Yet, he says, the entire climate cult and all of the socialists, Democrats, media propagandists, government regulators, and other big brother public-private partners are all at war with CO2 and trying to eliminate it from Earth's atmosphere. Folks, this is a crime against humanity, one of the biggest, and there have been quite a few of late, in human history. Number two, the biometric inventory of the human race, it's called WorldCoin, has begun, and all humans will need to be inventoried so that the globalists can properly track their depopulation milestones. Oh, you've probably heard about the orbs and the fact that they want to digitally scan irises so they know how good of a job they're doing at what they've got planned. Yeah, I know, there's probably some kind of a Mark of the Beast connection in there, too. Number three, they've given up on education of young people in order to be prepared for a productive future. Talked about this for a long time. The goal now is indoctrination, dumbing down, and making sure that they can't connect the dots. They don't know how to think. They merely emote. Number four, controlled demolition of energy infrastructure that drives human economies. I think that's beyond obvious at this point. So we'll skip to number five. Governments are funding, developing, and deploying anti-human genetic bioweapons as if engineered starvation and economic collapse weren't enough by themselves. Western governments, like the United States, are continuing to fund various genetic bioweapons, right, Tony, that target the human race. And we've seen more and more examples, including the fact that the communist Chinese public-private partners are at least behind the scenes helping out a bit. The U.S. Department of Defense, says Adams, is the instigator of some of these bioweapons. They have a long history of running illegal bioweapons labs in countries like Ukraine, as well as various African nations, for purposes that are increasingly, I'll say it again, undeniable. Number six, there's a coordinated global effort to destroy seed diversity and make crops unable to reproduce in order to make sure that free people are no longer able to grow their own food. The global efforts also underway to control the seed supply. We saw the prohibition of certain seed sales, if you recall, during the COVID lockdowns. They were non-essential. And let's not forget that Monsanto and others that are genetically modifying crops so that they contain the seeds of their own destruction, it's called the Terminator gene, simply won't reproduce. Isn't that convenient? Number seven, the rapid rollout of automation robots to replace blue-collar workers and transport drivers. We're seeing that. I think that's clear. Number eight, the rise of AI systems to replace white-collar workers, journalists, artists, coders, writers, and more. Number nine, the CDC is rolling recommendations for annual COVID injections. And don't worry, that's not the only ones. They've got a lot more planned, too, up until you die, which may not be nearly as long as a lot of people had been planning on. One thing is clear here, as with everything else at the Center for Death and Control, as Adams notes, the politics of Big Pharma drive the so-called science. And it's not a real science anymore like what we used to have, folks. It's the great God science. Just ask Tony Fauci, its high priest. Number 10, geoengineering-driven global famine is intended to unleash mass starvation. We've been talking about that today. Number 11, there are infertility chemicals that are being placed into the food supply. You know some of the names, atrazine, glyphosate, hormone disruptors, in order to reduce population sustainability. It's true that atrazine, he says, the number two most common herbicide in our food supply, is a chemical castration element that, quote, turns the frogs gay. And he's talking about a reference to some famous Alex Jones comments from literally years and years ago. And in doing so, it also causes the loss of reproductive viability, notes Adams, leading to what else? Population reduction. Number 12, globalists are in fact preparing to initiate the end of debt-based economics, as if that hasn't been destructive enough already, that have driven cheap food and the affordable growth of human populations. Cheap food, of course, comes from cheap energy. Cheap energy is easier to come by when you have cheap money, i.e. artificially low interest rates and lots of money-printing stimulus to prop up a zombie economy. The economics of the MMT, magical money theory, where delusional economists think money can be printed to oblivion without causing any problems. No, it's just wonderful. That is, if we're the only ones that are allowed to do it. Well, still, notes Adams and all the Austrians, and so does Scripture, folks, they're disastrous in the long run, and when the global debt pyramid of the U.S. dollar comes to an end, it will unleash a black hole-like monetary vortex that will literally destroy, well, just about everything, businesses, wealth, entire economies in record time. The global fiat currency rug pull, he notes, is all being engineered and timed for maximum destructive impact, and it's certainly, without question, drawing closer by the day. Soon, globalist banks will ditch dollars, and they'll call for their global switch to the CBDC system, where they can surveil and control all of your income sources, expenditures, and, of course, make sure that if you're not a good little slave, you don't get to do any of that. I guess the way I'll connect these dots is to say, hey, everything, literally, is pointing in the same direction. It's been clear for a long time. As a matter of fact, it's been prophesied for a long time. We can read Scripture and see exactly what it looks like, at least as the general outlines become more and more clear. And for the most part, all of us, by this point anyway, ought to know what to do. Thanks for being with us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.